Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for Between the Ropes. Brian Fritz, Michael Wiseman. A little better late than never, but we're doing a podcast, and we're punching it out. We do want to thank everybody that is checking us out at BetweenTheRopes.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and on Stitcher. And if you're doing it on iTunes, which I think is the best place, nothing against you, Stitcher, but please rate us and review us. That helps us out tremendously. It really helps us get the word out there, helps with the podcast. Hopefully it's nice things that you're saying about us. And, of course, you can now find the podcast as well on SoundCloud. And please support us on Patreon as well. Just go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. It doesn't take that much, even a dollar a month. That helps us out tremendously. So if you could support us on Patreon, that would really, really help us out. So
and if you know, if those options don't work for you, if you can't find us on iTunes or Stitcher, we're setting up a mailing list right now.
Yeah.
So you can we'll email out the link to our GeoCities page where we'll have some animated GIFs, some frames, and yeah, you'll be able to find us on GeoCities as well, because that's the future of the internet.
By the way, Michael, is you're still recovering from the unbelievable loss that your NC State Wolfpack suffered, losing to William and Mary in their opener.
Listen, William and Mary.
How do you lose to Bill and Mary, okay?
Well, that team, they're destined for great things this year, Brian. I don't know that everybody's on under the radar. I mean, that's a top 10 team right there, you know?
I highly doubt it.
They're just nobody's. They haven't played anybody yet. They come up against us. They had a really good game. You know,
it was the first game of the season, just like yours.
I mean, they're an up and coming team of a top 10, a bunch of young talent on there. They got two names, that William and Mary. This is a team.
Do people even get scholarships at William and Mary, or is it all walk-ons?
You mean like to the basketball program?
Yeah, does anybody go there going, I've got a basketball scholarship to go to William and Mary?
I'm sure somebody does. I mean, you saw a top 25 team.
I mean, I know you're not supposed to be one of the, you know, outstanding programs in the ACC, but you got to be a little bit better. I mean, you're no North Carolina or Duke, but I mean, come on, you're NC State.
Oh,
you got a
man.
Little something. You're right there in Tobacco Road.
Oh, man, you are.
At least try to live up to the standards of a Georgia Tech or even a Wake Forest.
Wow, Wake Forest. Joke of a school. Oh, you are killing me, brother.
You lost to William and Mary.
It was you know, one of those things that happened. I mean, you know, we're just it's what I always say. I always say you got to get your first loss out. Like, get it out of the way first thing and move on with your life.
Hey, at least when Duke loses, they lose to Kentucky.
I'm just saying, listen, nobody's going to go undefeated, right? It's not going to happen.
Apparently so not.
Lose
except
your
for
first
maybe
game,
Kentucky.
Get it over with. And move on. We're going to be undefeated the rest of the season.
Okay.
Mark my words.
We'll see about that. Well, maybe you need me to come back to a game since I'm 1-0 since attending games live there.
That's right. We should try to see if there's a game next weekend.
Yeah, nope. And plus, you know, when I'm there, you know, they know when the celebrities are there and they put them on the Jumbotron.
Jumbotron. Yep. That's you, Brian.
So that way I can flail my arms around like Kermit the Frog.
Local North Carolina celebrity, Brian Fritz.
Yes. Hey, I was wearing an NC State shirt, though.
That's right.
Because you provided it for me.
Well, that makes you legit. You were a legit fan, but
yeah.
I don't know about the celebrity bit. We'll have to come back to that.
I am going to be up there in a week, though.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Cade coverage.
Yep, and I'm going to be anywhere but here, so have fun with that.
Mm. Let's get into, we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. So let's start. We've got Raw, of course, and then Survivor Series is coming up on Sunday. So when it comes to Raw, I thought it was a good show, except for the opening segment and not the moment of silence. I'm talking about past that. And that was a very classy thing for WWE to do. But the opening segment with Taker and Kane and the Wyatts, I didn't think was any good. The closing segment, I didn't think was any good.
Oh, wow.
And I thought everything else in between was pretty darn good.
Okay. Let me see here. It's like the opposite approach. I thought the opening segment was fine. I didn't think it was bad. Why didn't you like it?
When I saw Kane and Taker come out, it looked like a couple of middle-aged old guys slowly walking their way to the bar to grab their next drink.
It builds suspense, though. That's yeah. the whole, they walk slow to build suspense. So you never know what's going
to
happen.
To me, though, the whole storyline's already ruined because you had Taker and Kane get beaten up in the previous weeks, had their souls taken from them. So now Bray Wyatt can shoot lightning like the Emperor from Star Wars.
Right, which that was corny. I mean, that was a thing that killed me last week. Was all the lightning, all the corniness, and that really overdid it for me.
I was really hoping that they were going to sing Queen and go Thunderbolts and Lightning every frightening. But the whole thing was ruined from the standpoint that they got beat up, and then they got the revenge already, where the two of them beat up the four members of the Wyatt family, and then after that, they set up a traditional tag team match, and I'm like, well, why would I care about that? I mean, these two guys already beat up the four members of the Wyatts, and now you will say, well, you know what? That already happened, so let's do it again, but this time let's even the odds and make it 2-on-2.
It's only really going to bother me if the Wyatt family loses again on Sunday, which is what I'm worried about. It's probably the inevitable outcome, but I think that this can be redeemed if Bray Wyatt finally gets his comeuppance, gets his win that he's been seeking for 2 years now. Otherwise, this will have been a wasted storyline.
But do you think that's going to happen, though? Because I agree with you that I would like to see Bray Wyatt finally get a big win in a feud. And it's been a long time since that. Even if he gets a win here, I think the feud would continue. And I don't even know if he's going to win the whole feud, but that's been one of the problems with Bray Wyatt. And I still believe that WWE doesn't totally understand the character of Bray Wyatt.
Yes, I agree with that. I think that they're missing. So, I mean, Bray Wyatt kind of sells himself because he's so good in the role.
Yeah.
But I think because of that, he's always being brought into these feuds as just this, oh, look, the generic heel. And granted, this is that Power of Darkness battle that I think does have some intrigue. It's different for Bray Wyatt. But I don't know. It just seems like they're never quite sure which direction to go with him. Is he in a feud with one guy? Is his whole team in a feud? Do we even need the Wyatt family? It's just some mismanagement and misbooking of him, I think. But I like Bray Wyatt, and I think he just needs that big win because he's had so many great feuds. Roman Reigns, The Undertaker earlier this year, Chris Jericho. I think that you have to, at some point, give him that big win.
I agree. I guess we don't agree on the final segment of Raw.
Okay. So why didn't you like it?
Well, I thought they went too far when it came to the controversy of the angle with Charlotte and Paige.
Okay.
Bringing up, you know, Reed Flair, who's, you know, passed away a couple of years ago from an overdose. It'd be one thing if you brought him up and it was one of these things where Charlotte brought him up and said, you know, I'm doing this in the memory of my brother. He meant so much to me. And you're doing it as a nice tribute. But then when you are using it in a way to, one, get people talking about a segment because you are being controversial, and two, to try to get somebody more heat as a heel in Paige. And when she's saying, you know, Charlotte's talking about how her family has always fought and they'll always continue to fight, and Paige comes back with, well, your brother didn't put up much of a fight, now did he? I thought that was too far, and I don't think WWE can have it both ways from a standpoint of they want to be controversial, they want to be edgy, they want to push the lines, but then they also want to be family-friendly content, and they want to be PG-rated. And to me, you can't have it both ways, and even if they were, you know, a little bit more adult with some of their storylines, I still wouldn't have liked this. It felt extremely uncomfortable to use a family member that has passed away and not even that long ago, and to use them in a manner like this. To me, it just felt salacious and cheap.
Okay. So I think that you mentioned PG, and I don't think this went over the PG barrier. I think it's just a family story. I think it was a little cheap, if only because even Ric Flair today came out and said, I don't approve of this. The entire Flair family basically said, I'm not okay with this. I don't know if you saw the comments from Flair, but he basically implied that he thought his daughter was basically put in a position where she couldn't say no because
right.
She's so new to the main roster.
But Flair, and then Flair's ex-wife and Charlotte and Reed's mother came out immediately afterwards on Twitter and was like, they did not say anything to me. They were going to do this. This is disgusting. This is distasteful. And now there's a whole thing about, did Charlotte know? Because there was one report from UpRocks that said she's the one that came up with the idea. And then there's another one from PWInsider.com that said, no, she did not come up with the idea, but she was approached by WWE about it, and she agreed to do it, which goes with Rick's comments from his podcast you just talked about, in that she might have been approached, and who knows if she was really okay with it, but she's not in a position right now where she can really say no.
Yes, exactly. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, well, yes, it was a little bit offensive. Look at the stage here. They gave the Divas the final slot on Raw for a contract signing, which they don't ever do. And I've been a vocal opponent of this feud from the beginning because I think that Paige has been so misused in the last few months with her on again, off again. Oh, we're best friends. Oh, we're not. All of that nonsense. I think the Divas Revolution has been a giant bust. I think there's been moments where it's had potential, but I think overall it's been a giant bust. And I think fans were lacking a reason to really be invested in this feud beyond just the, oh, look, they're rivals. And what I liked about this segment, now we can get into the whole discussion about whether or not it's offensive, whether or not it towed the line, whether or not wrestling is allowed to do that. But what I liked about this segment was that it brought out some real emotion from both women. And it made Charlotte look intense. And that bra felt real. I think there was a, it went out on this big thing that's like, holy crap, this is personal. And this is the first time I felt that from this match and really from a Divas feud on the main roster in quite some time.
But isn't there a way to do that without bringing up Reed Flair, without bringing up a family member that just died a couple of years ago?
So you think that they should avoid all family mentions in professional wrestling when it's distasteful?
When it comes to somebody that passed away and it really touches it, if you're using it in a manner to get more heat on the heel, yes. Okay. Because, I mean, go back 10 years ago, and did you feel uncomfortable or did you think it was over the line when they used Eddie Guerrero's death in an angle between Randy Orton and Rey Mysterio?
So, no, because if I'm not mistaken, Vicky Guerrero was okay with it. And right. I think, you know, if the wife, the closest member of the husband, would be okay with it, then I think it would be fine. I guess it's a little bit different.
So, well, I was going to say then, would it be easier? Do you think everybody might be overreacting if Rick had said, I'm okay with it? If Charlotte comes out and says, I'm okay with it, does that make it easier if the family members are okay with it, even though we're part of the viewing audience?
Yes, I think that's where the controversy comes in, because I think if the family says, nope, we're good with it, it's okay, we understand it's part of a storyline and we support WWE, I think there'd be a much different reaction. Now, what's funny about that is either way, you're tying your opinion up on based on what the closest member of the family says. And I don't know. I still think there's a gray area there. It's tricky, Brian.
It is tricky. And here's the other thing, too, you mentioned about the women being in the final segment. That came out of nowhere, and I'm not opposed to that, but I think the way that they did it on Raw was too quickly. They haven't built to it, and they didn't promote it. If it was one of these things where they said, hey, the women are going to be in the final segment, and you're doing some, you know, and there's a good reason for that, then sure, you know, but it just kind of popped out of nowhere, and it kind of feels like one of these things where WWE says, well, we're giving you what you want. We're giving you more adult storylines. We're giving mm-hmm. you edgier content. We're putting the women in the top segment on the show. I thought it was a bit of a disservice to the women just because it came out of nowhere. They didn't even promote it. It was one of these things where, like, you're watching the show and they kept promoting, like, coming up, contract signing, Charlotte and Paige for their Divas Championship match coming up at Survivor Series. And then the 10 o'clock hour comes, and they're doing Reigns against Cesaro, and you're like, whoa, what's going on here? And you're like, are they even doing the Del Rio Kalisto match tonight or not? And the next thing you know, they're doing that match. And next thing you know, there's like a throw-in match between the Ascension and the Dudleys for some reason. And then you look up at the clock and you're like, oh my goodness, it is, you know, 10:45 Eastern, and oh, they're going to put the women in the final segment. It just kind of came out of nowhere. It didn't feel like that was the right spot. And I guess they did it there because they were doing that angle, but it just felt strange.
Okay. I agree with you on all that. I think it was poorly advertised. I think the show was weirdly booked to be finishing with that, which it makes sense for that feud. But again, you're right. We had all these championship matches, and to end with that was kind of unexpected. But I think that did a pretty good job of selling this match. And I know it's a gray area. I know edgier content takes all different shapes and sizes, but I guess for me, I think it would be offensive if somebody in the family wasn't involved with the feud itself. And so to have, or a close friend, to have Charlotte be the mouthpiece standing up for her dead brother, it doesn't – I can handle it and I can tolerate it at the end of the day.
Well, it's one of these things too where it's wrestling. I think as long as they don't play on it a lot more, then they can just kind of – it would be remembered, but I don't think people harp on it too much.
Right. It goes back to like whenever CM Punk, they brought up CM Punk, Chris Jericho had that feud, and it was CM Punk's dad's an alcoholic and et cetera, et cetera. And people were, oh, that's crossing the line. I guess people want wrestling to feel more realistic, mm-hmm. but in order to do that, you have to treat these characters like they're real people. And real people have real conflicts outside of the squared circle and real things that happen to them. Right. And this is – the Flair family is one of those. And the Flair family is dynasty in wrestling, right? So to ignore events that happened in history for the Flair family, we can't ignore that Ric Flair's a womanizer and that, you know, he's an alcoholic at times. I mean, there are things here that come with the landscape of professional wrestling, especially with these family names.
Yeah, and maybe I'm being a little bit hypocritical because I do like to see a little bit more adult-edged. It's just when it comes to something like this, it's very touchy. You mm-hmm. know, and you bring up a good point, though, about the whole, you know, Jericho-Punk angle. I'm trying to remember how I even felt about that. I think it was just a little bit different because, you know, that one was about – I mean, the way that whole angle was executed, that's a whole nother story, and I thought it was done poorly. But I didn't feel – like that was crossing over a line at the time.
Right.
And maybe I should have. But this is just, you know, you're talking about the passing of somebody, you know, a younger brother, and you're using that, you know, in a manner to try to get heat on someone. It just, I don't know. I just remember watching the segment on Monday night, and I was squirming in my seat. I think I stood up and I was walking around, and ugh. I just not feel comfortable watching that.
And there were other people too. There were lots of people online I was seeing that were not very happy with this angle either.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's great they want to do more with the women and everything. Now they got to do the right thing when it comes to the match on Sunday, and this can't be, oh, we're just gonna, you know, casually walk into the ring and then we're gonna, you know, lock up in a wrestling hold and collar and elbow tie up. You know, this has to be, you know, as soon as they get out there, you know, maybe they need to be separated. Even when they're out there, there needs to be a careful look on that. But Charlotte needs to go right after her, and this needs to be a fist fight. And not a wrestling match.
Right. Yep.
Because if they don't do that, then it's just like, well, why the hell did you do that angle? Because, I mean, if somebody, as mad as she was during that angle on Monday, and she should have been, you know, for Paige bringing up her brother, then guess what? That's got to be carried over to the match. And she's got to take it to her, and she's got to fight her, you know. And can't be, oh, well, you know, let me try to wrap you up here with a, you know, whatever.
It needs
wrestling
to be brutal.
Hold. Yeah.
You gotta have a payoff here now, and it needs to be somewhat brutal.
Absolutely. So, you know, and it's funny too, because like when it comes to the tournament that WWE has done for the World Championship, we can say there's been some things that have been obvious, and we can question even some of the people that were in the tournament. But the thing that I've liked about it is, one, there's been a purpose to Raw the last couple of weeks. And two, we've gotten some really good matches out of it, and it showcased a lot of different guys that, especially this past week, that maybe don't always get that, you know, when it comes to, you know, Cesaro's always going to be a perfect opportunity and a guy brought up, you know, that he's getting a little bit more of a spotlight. There's been some other guys, and I like it that, you know, they're having some longer matches on there. I've never been an advocate of saying they need to have, you know, 20 to 30 minute matches on the show every week, or even anything that goes past 20 minutes. But I like it when they have good, solid matches that go, you know, 10 to 15 minutes. And we've seen a lot more of that over the last couple of weeks. It just makes the show go on better to me.
And you talked about good guys, our guys getting a good chance to show who we haven't seen a whole lot of lately. What about Roman Reigns being in what, for my money, might have been the best match of the evening?
Well, on Raw, it definitely was, yeah. And he's, you know what, he gets a bad rap for matches, because I think that's how WWE is trying to, you know, get him over with the public, saying, you know what, there's always going to be this pocket of the audience that's going to boo him no matter what, kind of like Cena. So the way that we're going to try to win everybody over is he's going to go out there and he's going to have good matches. And go back to Mania, he was having a great match with Lesnar. He had a great match with Lesnar, you know, and then we all know the finish there with Rollins. Go back to Hell in a Cell, where he had a fantastic match with Bray Wyatt. And I know that they got to use all the weapons, all the bells and whistles, but, man, they beat the hell out of each other, and they had a great match. And he had a very good match, you know, on Raw with Cesaro as well. So,
I mean, Cesaro is going to have a good match with people. That's what Cesaro does. He just has good matches in general. And
do you think Cesaro and I could have a good match right now?
Yes. Cesaro could have a good match with a wet mop. I mean, with a wet mop, Ryan. And you're a step above that, probably.
Well, I hope so. Well, I mean, that's always been the thing about Terry Funk, is that he could have a great match with the broom. So.
Right. That's why Cesaro gets the wet mop, because Terry Funk's busy wrestling the broom. Mm. I think Roman Reigns still deserves some of that ire. I think definitely in the ring, he's coming around more. He's still young. And that's one thing people need to remember, is that he's still young in this game. So he's still figuring out who he is as a wrestler. It took John Cena a number of years to really figure out who he was. And he's still modifying his craft and getting better at it. And I'm not saying John Cena is the prototypical best wrestler, but even Daniel Bryan, fans love Daniel Bryan. It wasn't until 2 or 3 years ago that he kind of solidified that current Daniel Bryan that everybody loves so much in the ring. But Roman Reigns still has things to work out on the microphone, and he still has things to work out with his presence and not coming across like cardboard. You know, in the ring, improving. On the mic, he's improving as well, but whenever he flubs lines and he tries to be intense, but it's not genuine.
Right. And that's why they need to keep his talking segments short. Keep it to like 3 minutes and let him be a badass. And, you know, we sit here and we could talk about the scripting, which I think a lot of people hate. I mean, I get it to some extent, you know, when it comes to WWE, but, you know, you've been around Roman a little bit, you know, from things that we've gone to cover.
Sure.
You've seen him. I mean, he's a personable guy. He's got a lot of charisma.
Mm-hmm.
He's just bad at reciting scripts and then, you know, or, you know, memorizing a script that somebody else has written for him and then saying it on television. You know, not everybody's good at that. You know, that's tough.
He's really bad at being that funny, cheesy, corny guy as well that they want him to be sometimes, like John Cena does with his cheesy lines. Roman Reigns can't do that at all.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, not everybody can do that. There's plenty of people. You know, I mean, does Ryback come out like he's realistic with some of the stuff that he says? Now, mind you, Ryback,
wow,
a little bit out there a little bit with it, you know, but I mean, you know, he's doing stuff from a script. I mean, I'm not trying to pick on people, but Charlotte, you know, I think that she doesn't always come off that great in these promos.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it's far from something that, you know, is just the only problem with Roman Reigns. But there's ways to get around that and just keep him shorter and keep him simpler. And Roman will be just fine. I think that's what people want from him anyway, rather than these long soliloquies. I mean, maybe we should all be rooting for Dean Ambrose, since he swears that if he wins the championship, there won't be as much talking.
Yep, that's right.
That was one of the things he said was going to happen, you know, if he wins the title on Sunday. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, I'm convinced right now. I mean, I think the best thing that could happen for WWE right now when it comes to Survivor Series and for the next 6 months is if they did turn Roman Reigns heel, because then you've got a guy, whether you want to put him with the Authority or not, but, you know, he kind of fits that mold a little bit better. People want to boo him. Let him boo him. You know, let him win the championship. Let him really get heat. He can have good feuds with Ambrose, because people will be behind that. It will help make Dean Ambrose even more. You've got a built-in feud with Cesaro. Maybe, you know, whatever you do at WrestleMania with him, whether it's a Brock Lesnar or a John Cena, and it seems like it's going to be one of those two, with Cena now really being the favorite, it looks like, for a match against Reigns at Mania. You could do that. And then when Seth Rollins comes back, you know, the following summer, You know, Seth could easily come back as a babyface, and that sets up for him against Reigns as well. So it sets up a lot more things, I think, if Roman Reigns turns heel and wins the championship. I don't think they want to do that, though, and I think WWE is going to turn Ambrose, and he's going to win the championship, and Reigns will chase him.
I think you're right. I think Roman Reigns could be a great heel. And I guess what really drives me crazy about it is this is the formula they've done before. They've perfected with guys like The Rock. These guys who come in and just can't get over as a babyface. They put them in a heel. John Cena went heel before he became the golden babyface, right? So that gives them a chance to earn a little bit of street cred and earn some credibility with that smart mark crowd. So I wish they would do it. It would make sense. It would give him more time just to kind of come off as a badass. And then after that, you can turn him back face later once he's got a little bit more mainstream appeal. But I think WWE doesn't want to pull from that playbook anymore for whatever reason. They want to go with the face route. So
I think they've got it all mapped out what they want to do because, you know, I think they want to keep Roman in this role where people are going to cheer for him. He's number two at merchandise sales for the company right now. They like it that he, you know, attracts women and a younger audience. And then they could do this match against Cena at Mania, and it's kind of like the passing of the torch. The problem is, I mean, that could easily backfire. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's one of those things where is it really ready for that or is it being forced? And we've seen what's happened when things get forced.
Well, and you also run the risk of passing the torch to Roman Reigns. And now when people were excited to get out of the John Cena era and get some fresh blood, we're literally going into John Cena 2.0 era. And I think that's the problem with passing the torch and having – it's great in theory. Oh, look, this legend is giving his approval to this young gun. But at some point, you're just rehashing the same characters and the same storylines over and over and over. And – that's why it's when you pass the torch too literally sometimes, it's not a good thing for storytelling.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, you know, when it comes to, you know, when it comes to Reigns, I mean, he doesn't want to be the next John Cena. I mean, he said that so many different times, like, I don't want to be John Cena.
Right.
You know, I want to be me, you know, and I want to be different. He's fine with being cheered or, you know, babyface heel, whatever. But, you know, he hates that comparison to Cena. I think, or at least it comes off that way because he just wants to be his own self, you know, and hates that comparison.
Yeah. Yeah. And I understand that. That's these guys don't want to be 2.0, whatever they want to be. They want to make their own mark.
Well, what do you think is going to happen at Survivor Series? Because like I said, I think it's a mistake. I think Ambrose is the one that they want to turn heel. I don't know if they would put him at the Authority. That would be a fish out of water if they did that. Mm-hmm. But I think they want Reigns chasing a little bit longer. Maybe he wins it, say, at the Royal Rumble.
Huh. Okay. So we have.
Can't we just get Kevin Owens to win the damn thing?
Yeah, right. So I was going to say that would make a whole lot of sense at this point. And to put Kevin Owens in there with the Authority, that would be good stuff. I think that could be. I mean, he's had this whole independent streak going, but you could really sell it as they like him because of his independence. So,
because he's a prize fighter.
Right, exactly. So what, you have Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens square off for the championship?
Yeah.
And the thing about it, too, is if that happens, first off, Kevin Owens gets some heat because he's going over Dean Ambrose. I'm thinking of the brackets correctly, right? It's Ambrose, Owens,
yeah,
Reigns. Okay, Reigns, Del Rio.
Yeah, Del Rio.
So
luckily, no masks will be in play during this. Right.
Thank goodness. You will have Kevin Owens getting a little bit more heat by going up against the babyface Dean Ambrose and beating him. Flip it over. Whenever he goes up against Roman Reigns, he's going to have a great match. They're guaranteed to have a great match for the title. And it really cements Kevin Owens in that spot we thought he was going to be in right around August, which is he's a main eventer now. We can take him seriously in this role.
I think it fits. It's just whether or not they really want to do that, you know. I mean, they need a top heel right now. They need a top heel. And they don't have that. And that's why I like the idea of turning Reigns, but hell, I don't know. I mean, I think everybody would freak out if Owens won a championship. Like, people would pass out, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
I still think they're going to put the belt on Roman Reigns. They've devised this too. He's going up against the machine, and he's going to conquer all.
What if they just did nothing? And it was just straight up Reigns against Ambrose, and then Ambrose or and then Reigns just won it, and they were cool with it afterwards.
That's what they're. That's how they try to get guys like Roman Reigns over, because we all love Dean Ambrose. So Dean Ambrose will give Roman Reigns a pat on the back afterwards. Yeah, man, you got the better of me. And they think that that's going to make everybody love Roman Reigns.
But don't you get this feeling that no matter who wins, they're going to do something with the authority, and there'll be like a ref bump, and Triple H is going to have a chair, and he's going to throw into the ring, and you're wondering who's going to get it. And you think it's going to be one guy, and it ends up being the other. You know, something like that. Or a guy grabs a chair and he acts like he's going to throw it out of the ring. And maybe he does throw it out of the ring. And then later he picks it up and he uses it. Or the other guy uses it. Like, I'm not going to use this chair. And he throws it down. And then the other guy grabs a chair and hits him with it behind the ref's back.
I could dig that. But, I mean,
it's just
who knows?
Who's going to be the person that uses that evil chair for dastardly means?
Well, and for that storyline to play out, it would really have to be a face versus a face, and then turn one of them for it to be a surprise. Because if there's a chair in play, of course Kevin Owens would use it because he's a heel. Of course Del Rio would use it.
But that makes sense that they do that for, let's say, the Ambrose Reigns scenario.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you would – I would love it if Roman Reigns did it.
Yeah, but exactly.
Then you have the logic gap, though, of why did Roman Reigns turn down Triple H 2 weeks ago?
Well, he could say that he wasn't into it then, but over the last couple of weeks, he was sold on it. Yeah. As he got closer to winning the championship, he realized what a difference maker that would mean and for him and his family, and how badly he wanted that championship, and how it made sense, you know, that maybe he's had some private meetings with Triple H, you know, and he kind of recruited him a little bit more. Or maybe he said, you know what, I didn't do it because of Triple H. I did it because of me. And he goes, you know what? At the time, he pitched me, and I wasn't keen on that. But you know what? The more that I thought about it, I did it for my reasons, that I wanted to win the championship. I took this opportunity, and I did it not because he wanted me to do it, but because I chose to do it.
Right. Okay.
You're welcome, WWE. Booking for you again.
Okay. But yes, your fantasy booking, and that's the problem. And that's the thing is, I don't think they're going to go with that.
Yeah. I agree with you there, too. So. Yeah, I don't think they're going to go with that, but I guess we'll find out on Sunday. I mean, as much as I look at Survivor Series and I sit there and go, well, why didn't you announce the rest of the card? And yes, it's been predictable of where they're going. I don't think predictable is bad. I think we're going to get a swerve in some fashion on the show, and I think it's probably going to end up being a really good show.
Okay, so follow up then. So we know that Brock Lesnar has been signed to a few more dates with the injury bug being in play.
Right.
So do you think it's possible that Roman Reigns wins it and his next feud is Brock Lesnar?
No, I think they're going to wait on that. I think Lesnar won't be back until January. I know he's doing a house show like in Houston or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, so he's doing that and then... Oh, he's doing that one around Christmas, too.
Maybe he'll make an appearance on the NXT Overseas tapings. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, why not? So he just demolishes the entire roster.
Right.
I think the next time we're going to see him on Raw won't be January. I'm still of the belief that he's going to be,
in the Rumble?
So here's the thing, okay?
Say it.
Well, let's play this out a little bit, okay? Because let's go some places we haven't thought, okay? If I've always kind of believed that Lesnar was going to be the guy that would win the Rumble and get the title shot, okay? Now, if they do go with Reigns against Cena, that would mean either John Cena is the champion going into WrestleMania, or he's the guy that earns the championship slot by winning the Royal Rumble.
Mm. What if they just keep both of them away from the belt? Wouldn't that make the most sense?
Well, one of them would have to be the champion going into Mania. So does that mean they win it at the Rumble? Does that mean they win it in February? I would think that you'd want the champion in place long before that for a build. Even if you're not flat out saying who's going to be in that match, you know. Like you know who's going to be the champion going into it, and you'll find out at the Rumble who that person's going to be facing.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the idea of changing the belt in February.
They used to do it all the time. That was the whole great thing about the Elimination Chamber, is it gave you one final time to throw a curveball into the WrestleMania.
I always thought that
plans.
Was a bad idea. I thought the Rumble winner should earn a title shot, because remember, they had two world titles then.
Right.
So I was always of the belief that if you won the Rumble, you got a title shot, and then in February, if you won the Chamber, you got the shot the other title.
Yeah, you and I disagree on that one, too. We're just not on the same page today, buddy.
Well, that's because you just don't understand the psychology of wrestling.
It's because you are a short-sighted storyteller. I mean, let's just keep it.
What are you talking about, short-sighted?
Uh-huh. Well, you're shorter than me, so technically you are short-sighted.
Give me a break.
But,
by the way,
wrestling.
So now we officially know why John Cena is taking time off and what he's doing.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
So I had heard two different things. One was he was off doing a movie that was super secret, and the other one was he was doing a reality show. Which one do you think it is?
Reality show.
That would be correct. He is doing a reality show. I believe it's for Fox. That was what we'd heard before. The name of the show?
Is it a dancing one? They're doing all these. Is it a music? It's a musical.
No,
one,
and remember there was talk that he was doing something like a fitness show, right? So he's doing a reality show. It's a reality competition show called American Grit.
Hmm.
The show will split 16 men and women into four teams that must work together to conquer a variety of military grade and survival themed challenges. The series will embody the military ethos, No Man Left Behind, because only the first team to complete the challenges together is safe from elimination. Each episode will culminate in The Circus, an endurance-based obstacle course designed to break the weakest competitors. With up to $1 million in prize money at stake, it's the ultimate test of strength, grit, the human spirit, and teamwork. And the show will feature four ex-military team mentors, including a Navy SEAL and an Army Ranger sniper. No belief that Jesse the Body Ventura will be the Navy SEAL involved in the show.
This sounds like one of those reality TV shows destined for reruns on cable, and that's about it.
This is the updated version of American Gladiators, my friend.
No. Besides, they already did that with the real Hulk Hogan.
And Matt Morgan.
Yeah, well, that's right. I forgot he was on there. But
he
Hulk
was
Hogan
a competitor
the,
on the show.
Right. Hulk Hogan was the host.
He was the guy standing there reciting lines and flubbing them. but, yeah, so.
Do you remember? Oh, what? God. Did you ever see Battle Dome?
Oh, boy. I know about Battle Dome, but I didn't really watch it.
Battle Dome? Okay, so you know about it. Yeah. The most intense competition on television ever. And this lasted for 30 episodes, but where they blended professional wrestling and American Gladiators.
Yeah.
It was awesome. All I remember is I watched one episode, and they're doing like these competitions, like American, like running in one of those giant wheels or battling with those big foam handle sticks or whatever.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this guy drives in a limousine, and the announcer's like, "Oh, he's coming in!" And I'm like, "Wait, what is this? What the heck is going on right now?" It was professional wrestling meets American Gladiators, and it was fantastic.
Fantastic. So, by the way, so Stone Cold Steve Austin is the latest person now who is pissed that WWE isn't doing more with Cesaro.
Finally, yes.
Here's what Austin said on his podcast. Okay, he just put out the Unleashed podcast. And he goes, "I think the guy is just so damn good in the ring. I see eventually he will put all the pieces together, but they're not helping him any." They being WWE. He's got to put the pieces together to go on top of the card. Cesaro, you have hopes for because he could do so much. He looks so good. He only speaks 17 languages. He can go all over the world and promote. So there's got to be a way to get this guy figured in a little more and get his ass over. I agree.
He's been saying this since he did that first podcast with McMahon, though. I mean, they did that podcast, and he named Cesaro as one of those guys. Why isn't he a bigger star? And Vince McMahon was like, "I don't know. He's not connecting with the fans. Bah, swipe left."
Well, here's the thing, too, okay? They talk about, well, does he have enough charisma? Is he not connecting or whatever? When was the last time Cesaro got to cut a promo? Even like a 2 or 3 minute promo?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember it. I'll tell you that. I mean, dude, give the guy another opportunity. I mean, it's not to the, it's not as big as like Daniel Bryan when that just became this title wave they couldn't deny. But this whole thing of Cesaro right now, I mean, it's growing naturally, organically, the Cesaro section and things like that. And just the pops that this guy gets, you know, especially when he has these great matches, people know what he's capable of. Let him show his personality a little bit and see if you have something there. And if you don't, then guess what? You put him back in the same role he's been. He'll be this great hand, you know. And if he actually shows off this personality, which a lot of us believe he has, then you've made another star.
Let him speak in six languages again.
Yes.
Let him do it.
Let him speak in a bunch of different languages. Don't pair him up with Paul Heyman.
You're right. That was, yep. That was a, there was potential there that was squandered very quickly.
You ain't getting there.
They squandered it right out the gate.
It should have never happened. I mean, Heyman needed to just be with Lesnar. But, I mean, the pop that they got that night, though, when Cesaro said that he was a Paul Heyman guy. Oh, my God.
I think there was potential there. I think that you could use that and leverage that, but you had to treat it like Cesaro was what Kevin Owens is, a prize fighter, like what Brock Lesnar is, this brute, this badass prize fighter who just wants to. I mean, Cesaro would be different, of course. He would be the technical prize fighter, whereas Brock Lesnar is the monster prize fighter. But I think you could have run with that. That's why fans loved it. But
so we got the Royal Rumble here in Orlando on January 24th, I believe. And you're coming down for that, right?
Sold out, you know.
Well, I'll find a way to get us tickets, okay?
We'll sneak in through the back.
One way or another.
I know a guy.
Yep, so that's
the 24th. Door propped open. It's no big deal.
Well, I don't know if you've heard about this, but I think
when
you
is
have.
It?
It's is it? Sunday, January 24th. Is,
put that on my calendar.
You know that on Friday, January the 22nd, NXT is doing their biggest TV tapings they've ever done from the UCF Arena that will hold, typically for basketball games, it holds 10,000 people. So it'll be a little bit less than that. So about 8,000 people. They're not doing a live special, but they're doing a huge NXT taping on the Friday before the Rumble.
So what time does that start?
The taping?
Mm-hmm.
My guess would be about 7 o'clock.
So if I leave my house at 7 in the morning.
Yes.
I could be there in time to get dinner. And we could go to the taping that night.
Wait a second. You're driving down here?
Yes.
Holy shnikes. I didn't know that. Well, what are you, about an eight-hour drive?
You just drove. Didn't you just go to...
I went to Asheville. That's okay. All the way on the other side of the state.
No, no, it's not. It's literally 2 hours from here.
The other side of the state.
No. You don't know where we are, apparently.
I
know.
I mean, for us, a couple stops here and there, 8.5-9 hours.
Yes, right. So that's not that bad of a drive.
No, if you left at 7 in the morning, yeah, you could be down here by like 4 in the afternoon.
Thing is, I'm bringing my wife, so...
You are?
Yes.
I didn't know about this.
Yes, you did. Way to play dumb. My wife's never been to a live WWE event.
Are you guys planning on going to Disney World while you're here?
I hadn't planned on it.
Oh.
Mm.
What if I could get you into Disney?
That would be fantastic. Is it open in January?
It's open every day of the year.
Oh. What about Thanksgiving?
It's open.
What about Christmas?
It's open.
What about my birthday?
It's open, whenever the hell that is.
Okay. So I'll tell you what. We'll go to Disney World then. What do you think?
Well, we could do a Friday NXT. You could drive down here. Friday night NXT. Saturday Disney World.
Okay.
Sunday, we could do whatever we want during the day. And then we've got the Rumble the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys are going back on Monday?
That was the plan.
Yeah.
We're driving, so we have some flexibility. But, I mean, that was kind of the...
Well, I think Raw's in Miami. That's a bit of a hike.
Yep. We've done it.
Oh, we've done it? We've if your wife it. Wasn't here, then I'd be like, I don't know if she's going to be keen on the 3.5-hour drive down to...
And then the 3-hour...
that could be a little taxing sometimes, you know. But, in fact, I'm going to look it up right now. When is... Hold on a second. I got to find these damn things. View all upcoming events. This is important stuff, okay?
Uh-huh.
I got to see exactly when the hell.
It's the Monday. It's Monday night. Monday
right.
night.
Well, I'm on
the 25th.
I always love it when you got to go to their schedule. They only put so many dates on a page. And it's like click ahead, click ahead, click ahead, click ahead.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting there. Oh, there's the Rumble. Oh, so that means the next page should have it. Yeah, it's in Miami. Oh, and SmackDown in the home of the scummer. Tampa, Florida.
So they basically switched everything up from what they did last summer when we went, huh?
Yes. Well, no, we went to Raw. It was in Miami, and then SmackDown. No,
oh, that's right. Raw.
The pay-per-view was in. We went to Battleground, which was in Tampa, and then Raw was in Miami.
They swapped the pay-per-view and SmackDown.
SmackDown was in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'll have to see if I can take the time off, maybe make a couple trips.
There you go.
Well, you know what? I get off work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I could make the drive and make it for Raw. Even if it took 4 hours, I'd get down there at 7. And
yeah.
Show start, and I could make it for Raw.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the next, just take off the Tuesday. Hmm. Interesting. Interesting. Do I want to do the voyage?
Nope. Probably not worth it. It's a long drive.
It is a long drive.
I've done it.
I know. I did it with you.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the car. I was the one driving it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to a couple other news and notes
before
we wrap it up. So Billy Gunn got fired from WWE for being a trainer because he was doing powerlifting competitions.
More like being a traitor. Jeez.
Yeah. He was doing powerlifting competitions without telling the company. And then he tested positive for PEDs and his levels were 37-1.
Wow.
37-1.
No wonder he looked so good.
Way over the limit. So WWE said we can't have this because he's a trainer and it just sets a bad precedent, you know, because we don't want that. And they fired him. But I think this is one of those where they're like, Billy, we got to fire you, but be a good boy. And in a year from now, you'll be back.
Is there a limitation on how long a superstar has to be out of the company before they can be brought back in?
Oh, if they break the 3-strike rule?
Yes.
I think it's a year.
Okay.
But this doesn't pertain to Billy because, number one, he's not an active performer. And two, he didn't get tested by the WWE.
Well, that's true.
This is from the powerlifting competition.
It's true. Well, that was pretty dumb, though.
How are you doing these competitions behind their back? Why? It can't be that much money or whatever. And then you got popped 37-1.
That's crazy.
You got to be a little bit smarter than that, man.
That is crazy.
A little bit smart. Let's talk about some Ring of Honor and TNA stuff, okay? So we've been saying this for a little while. It's not like we came up with it or anything, but
we
felt this way.
But we did. We admit it, yep.
That come the end of the year, Destination America was going to be out of the wrestling business. Or soon thereafter. And that's exactly what's going to happen. So Ring of Honor is leaving Destination America at the end of the month. And they're going to Comet, which is a new network that just started like 2 weeks ago. That's also owned by Sinclair. So
Comet. Like what flies in the sky?
Yes. So it's going to have like all this old MGM programming. And it's just in certain amount of markets, but it's going to be popping up in some other ones, like on digital channels right now for the most part. But they're going to be on Comet. It's going to be on Wednesday nights at midnight. So they'll be there.
I mean, this seems like a perfect fit. Their name is Comet. They focus on science fiction, supernatural, adventure, and fantasy. And their slogan is Space Out. That all screams wrestling to me.
You got it, man. You know it. Yeah. So that's their new TV deal. And then TNA is going to be done with Destination America sometime in January. And they're looking for another home. And the station that I had heard for a while, the one that they have been... that they talked to before they even got to deal with Destination America was WGN. So I guess those talks are ongoing. And they've also been talking with Pop TV, according to Mike Johnson, PW
Pop
Insider.
TV. Jesus.
You know what do you know what Pop TV is?
No.
It's the old TV Guide channel.
Oh, Lord.
So they're talking with them. Both of them have bigger clearances than Destination America, but... just like Destination America, there's never been wrestling programming there. And you wonder if it really fits the model. But they're talking with them, and we'll see if they actually make a deal or not. But
WGHP, our local Fox affiliate, Fox 8, I'm sure they'd be a great fit for wrestling. So why don't you contact them? There's a base at a High Point, new taping somewhere in the area. There's a couple of community gyms or maybe some high school gyms that are free for tapings. So TNA, you should get on that.
There you go, man. That's what's going on. Well, I mean, so TNA is saying based on the deals that they've gotten overseas, especially the deal that they got with India, okay, and their new deal with the UK, that while they want a deal here in North America, they can survive without one. Now, we can sit here and we can talk about what does survival mean and who's going to be actually working there and, you know, things like that. And what would the company look like? Now, the deal that they made with India is like this spectacular deal, like a 6-year deal worth around $50 to $55 million, I believe.
Mm.
So it's like $9 million a year. OK, which is huge for them. Now, WWE made a deal with India recently, too, and they got even more money, as you would expect. But India's got some money to throw around. You know, I don't know what the deal with the UK is, but, you know, it's some money. So they'll be able to survive, like I said, but they'll be able to survive a lot better if they can get a deal here in the U.S. The deal with Pop TV, I wouldn't think that's much. WGN, you would think that is the better deal just because people have actually heard of that network. Still, we don't know, like, what kind of numbers they could do there. Would it be the same as Destination America? Maybe. Even though WGN has a bigger clearance, I don't know how much better it would be, if at all. To me, it still comes down to you got to get the word out there more. What talents do you have? What storylines are you putting on? Things like that. What are you doing with your product? So there's a lot of big questions, but TNA is going to survive. Just we have to see how exactly it survives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting they're going after the business deals. I think that's smart. Obviously, we think that's funny. Why would they do that? But, you know, it's a business at the end of the day, and it needs to make money. And if that influences what they do, so be it. Again, I would like to see them parlay this into something bigger at some point down the line. But otherwise, I still feel like the company is on borrowed time.
Well, how about this one for TNA? So I heard this a couple of weeks ago that they've got some money to spend. So they must be feeling pretty good about where they're at, okay? Because I had heard they're hiring some more employees. And now the word has come out. So our friend Scott Fishman over with Channel Guide Magazine did an interview with Bill Goldberg to promote his new movie that's coming out. And Goldberg says he got contacted by TNA a couple of days ago. And he said they want to promote his movie since one of his adversaries in the movie is Bram.
Right.
And he goes on to say, quote, "I'm greatly appreciative they want to help the movie out. Now, at the end of the day, promoting the movie is one thing, but getting a guy like Goldberg in your wrestling organization is a completely different story. We'll see." And PWInsider.com is saying that Goldberg isn't the only big name that TNA has contacted recently, but does not say what other big names they have reached out to. So TNA is trying to bring in some names. Whether that's good or not, I don't know, but they must have some money from somewhere.
Interesting. And the plot thickens.
Bum, bum, bum.
But there's no way Bill Goldberg would come back to wrestle in TNA for one more match.
If they give him the right money, he will.
Hmm.
Remember, he looks at it very much as a business. If they will give him good money, I think he would. And plus, he still has this thing, I think, where he would like his, I believe he has a son, and he'd like his son to actually see him wrestle. And, like, at a time where he could actually remember it, just so he kind of has an idea of what dad did. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, here's the thing, though. How important will it be to have a Bill Goldberg in your organization, even if it was for only one or two matches? You know, what kind of an uptick do you think you could get off that? Would it be
that's
important
true.
Enough, especially with the amount of money that it's going to take?
Yep, that's true.
I mean,
that's
how many
a good
times
point.
Have we seen this with, they brought in Hulk Hogan, did it really matter? Eh. You know, they brought in Jeff Hardy, they brought in a Kurt Angle, they brought in different people. There's been some ups and downs, but it's nothing that's ever been massive, you know? I would rather that they, I understand that you got to have some star power to get people watching and even sell your product when you're trying to get with a TV station or you're trying to get advertisers. But I would much rather they invest money on getting more younger talent.
Yeah, but that's a slow lag time to get them in the position where they can carry your company and make some good money.
Well, that's why, like with somebody like Goldberg, You know, and I'm just using him as the example here, but I don't think it's worth the money. I don't know if anybody is worth the money. Yes, you do need some people that do have some name recognition, but for the amount of money that's going to cost to get him, I don't really think you get enough out of that investment. And that's why I'm saying I think there's other guys you can get that have some name recognition that could probably get you about the same amount of buzz. And then with the other money, you can invest that in trying to get some other talents, even if they're guys from, say, like a Ring of Honor or something like that, which I know that's a horrible thing to say. Go raid Ring of Honor, but there's a lot of talented people with Ring of Honor that I would be very interested in.
There are five guys on the roster, five guys, not on their roster, but on in the wrestling world who would be worth the money if they were free agents. So John Cena, Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker, right? Obviously, one match with The Undertaker would pop ratings like crazy for TNA. But CM Punk would be one of those free agents worth the money.
Massive. And
Daniel Bryan would be worth the money.
Right.
So, you know, you're never going to get Cena. You're definitely never going to get The Undertaker. Brock Lesnar is hoping a prayer. You'd probably never see that happen.
That's not going to happen.
Daniel Bryan, less, still not likely, but more plausible. CM Punk is a possibility, but, you know, those are the guys.
It's a possibility a few years down the line if he has a fight in UFC, it doesn't go well, and for whatever reason, he gets convinced to come back to wrestling. And it's still a stretch, but...
The New York Times said CM Punk is the perfect top star to replace Ronda Rousey now.
Right. Sorry.
Hasn't even had a fight.
I know. That's a problem.
Oh.
That's a big problem. You know, the funny thing is with TNA, they had an opportunity to have both CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, and they did not get either of them.
Yep.
I don't even think they tried to get Daniel Bryan, or they didn't try that hard. And Punk... Was Punk even there? Did he like wrestle a match there or something?
Yes, he wrestled one match, but I think if I'm not mistaken, it was like one of those everybody and their brother matches.
Yeah. I mean, I think they would have had an opportunity to get him, but they obviously didn't. I remember going to a TNA show, and this was when they were here all the time in Orlando, and I could go into the back and everything. And I remember the show was going on, the taping was going on, and there's, you know, probably about a dozen, maybe 20 chairs set up in front of this big monitor, right? So typically there's a lot of people that'll be sitting down, they'll be watching the show as it's going on, and there's other people that'll be like walking around the area, whether they're getting ready for a match or they're just, you know, they're passing through, whatever, you know, some of them are even standing and watching. And I remember being back there, and I was looking in the front row, and I like did a double take, and I turned to somebody, I go, is that CM Punk? And they're like, yep, Punk is here.
Huh.
I was like, huh, how about that? So I remember seeing him at shows, and he's sitting there in the front, and he's just talking with somebody and watching the taping, you know? But, yeah, they had an opportunity to get him. They had an opportunity to get Daniel Bryan. Remember, it would have cost a lot of money, but Paul Heyman was willing to talk to them and come in if he had control of the storylines, and he wanted to make the company more reality MMA based, and he was going to build the whole company around Bryan Danielson, aka Daniel Bryan. And they decided not to do that.
Looking back, missed opportunity.
Big time missed opportunity. But it's interesting to see that, you know, they've reached out to Goldberg and they've reached out to some other people. I don't know what it means, but to me, I mean, they could. It would really, really help them, as you could imagine, if they can get that deal with WGN. I don't know what it would cost. There's even been some talk that, like, if they got a deal with Pop, and I don't know if it maybe it would be the same way with WGN, that they would have to buy the slot and then sell it. And to me, that sounds horrible because you got to spend the money first. Okay, so that's already money out of your pocket. You got to have a sales staff, and then they have to actually sell the product. That's already tough when it comes to pro wrestling. And what makes it even tougher and almost impossible is that you're not WWE. And there's so many different places out there. They're like, if we're going to do anything with wrestling, it's got to be WWE or else we're not touching it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. But I think the state of professional wrestling right now is weird. And TNA lives to breathe another day, and they're outlasting all of us. I think my bold prediction for the year was that TNA would be out of business.
That's everybody's prediction every year, though.
But, yeah, you're right. And it hasn't happened yet.
They're still hanging around. So, well, on that, we're going to wrap it up. But we do appreciate everybody for joining us here for the podcast. Of course, check out BetweenTheRopes.com. We've got some more podcasts coming up here. And you can find us on SoundCloud now as well. And like I said at the beginning, please rate us and review us on iTunes. That helps out tremendously. And I hope you have some nice things to say about us. And if you can support us on Patreon as well, that would be fantastic. Just go to patreon.com/betweentheropes, or you can find the link on betweentheropes.com. So thanks, Mikey. We'll do it again next week, buddy.
Sounds good, man. We'll see you sometime.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.